Greetings to the staff of Nemata and visitors to the site platform of Sophianic School of Arts and Sciences. This is the main professor, founder of the school. I'm sitting here in the old Guyanim studio with my partner, who is the admin and director of the school, Carrie Dwin. And we are taking this opportunity to present an exceptional talk. So, if you're listening to this talk, you will have found it by going to the visitors section of Nemata and finding it in the curriculum panel. In parallel to this introductory and orientation talk, we are going to open a dedicated thread on the Planetary Tantra Forum. Now remember, the Planetary Tantra Forum is open to all visitors. You do not have to be subscribing or paying member of Nemata. So we'll open that thread. In that thread, there will be a discussion of this coronavirus event in parallel with this talk we're doing now. And I have to tell you that this is totally improvisational. We've never done this before. We haven't rehearsed this, so there may be some hesitation and some stuttering and stammering here.
And arguing
and sniffing and slapping each other. But we're doing our level best and our sober best to take you to the heart of this phenomenon and to alert you to the fact that this is an enormous ruse, R-U-S-E. It's a trick. It's a massive act of trickery.
It's a shit test.
And it is a shit test, the ultimate shit test for the human species. So our intention in this introductory talk, which, as I have said, is ad lib, improvisational, our attention is primarily twofold. First of all, to take you to the essential truth, the opportunity to see the essential truth that comes to be revealed in this event. That's the first objective. And in the second objective, we'll do our best to kind of run over an article which I have here in my hands, and doing so to demonstrate for you in our conversation and in our spontaneous remarks how to apply the Gnostic skill of critique and metacritique to the information, any information that comes to your attention. I'm going to demonstrate to you how to do that, referring to a specific article. Am I making sense?
Yeah. I think we should give a bit of background on why we've got to this point. You've been following the coronavirus.
For a couple of months.
I have not. Because I don't believe anything that the mainstream media say. I don't believe anything that the authorities say. Because we're in Spain and Spain's on lockdown, apparently.
So they say.
I did check flights from Brussels to Madrid today, and they were all flying. So I don't know how true it is that Spain is on lockdown, but everyone seems to be believing it. And a friend who's due to come and visit us yesterday, is the area in Spain that you live in, is it really on lockdown? I could do with knowing us, or I don't know. And actually, I use SwissCow browser.
This is an important point. Swiss Cow's browser.
Which is an independent search engine. And I typed in the words coronavirus plus the local area. And nothing came up. There was one article at the top. The second result was about football.
Mm-hmm.
The third result was about buying a property. Fourth result was about weather,
mm-hmm.
and there was just nothing there.
And when you went to another search engine...
So that prompted me to think, hang on a minute, why is everybody talking about the virus? So I went to another search engine, Safari, which of course uses Google, and there were 14 million results there.
So what does this tell you?
They're controlling the narrative and getting everybody in complete panic.
It's a propaganda war. Everything that you hear, except what you're going to hear now, even on the alternative media coming from the best intentioned people, is likely to be, knowingly or not, unwittingly or not, part of the propaganda war. It's all a propaganda war. All wars are fought using propaganda, and very often the propaganda front of the war decides the outcome of the war even more than the actual physical bombs, planes, tanks, and death toll. So we are in a propaganda war, so be very, very cautious about what you accept following what you find in your research and your investigations, okay? We agree on that.
And, of course, I've been learning German new medicine for the last 2 years really, really diligently. It's been in my psyche for 5 years, and viruses don't exist.
Right. I'd like to comment on that point. There is a line in the sand here. There is an opportunity, an incredible, awesome opportunity presented by this event. It is, in a way, a selection event. It does have something to do with the extinction protocols of the Scorpion Mother, and I'll get to that in a moment because it kicks off, that topic kicks off the existing thread on Planetary Chantra. But just let me say this, that German New Medicine not only claims, but proves, and this is not a marginal, what's the word, not a marginal freak proof. It's a proof massively supported by more than one scientist and by an impressive number of different measures. It can be proven that viruses do not exist. But let me warn you of the obvious. We have reached the point today, we're not going to reach it soon, we have reached the point today where if you come out publicly and you say that viruses do not exist, you are going to be at risk of being tasered, hauled off to a concentration camp, re-educated at best, if not killed.
It's going against the party line.
Yeah, it is the biggest act of defiance to the party line to say that viruses do not exist. And let me just add to that this qualification. I've often said that as a Gnostic teacher, I am more critical of myself than anyone else can be. I practice auto-correction and auto-inspection to the limit of my capacities, and I invite anyone else to correct me if I don't correct myself. But I have to say, given all that, in view of all that, I always consider the objections that could be raised to what I say. And there are going to be people, even voices that appear in the mainstream media, who are going to raise the issue that, well, what is this virus concept? What is this germ theory concept? And what if viruses don't really exist, or they, what we call viruses, don't really operate in the way that traditional medicine affirms? Well, this is going to happen, and it will be the biggest taboo on the planet to say that viruses do not exist. And I realize I can see the objection that may come in some of your minds as well. It's as if saying, as if you object, I'm stuttering and stammering, by saying, oh, wait a minute, John, that's a very dangerous thing to say, because by saying that, you could persuade certain people, oh, they don't have to be worried if they're told that they have a coronavirus, and you could then misinform them in such a way that would be dangerous to their health and they may eventually die from you claiming that viruses do not exist. I recognize that objection, but I counter that objection by saying that it is a certainty, an absolute certainty of this event, that many, many people will die due to believing that viruses exist. Just take a moment to take that on board. And why do I say that? Because I know the power of a narrative, the self-fulfilling power of a narrative. So what we're going to look at and discuss here, as well as in the dedicated thread on Planetary Tantra, is the obvious fact that there may or may not be a biological event called coronavirus. We're going to look at that very carefully, if there is such event or not. But whether or not there is such a real threat of such a pandemic virus, there is a narrative event unfolding. And the narrative event is more dangerous than the biological event. The narrative event is the weaponized virus.
Yep.
Is that a good start?
Yep.
Okay. So, second thing I want to say in launching into this is that there is a selection event taking place. Now, I know that in the past, I've often mentioned, I think going back to the GNE, I've often used the meme, Extinction Protocols of Scorpion Mother. That is the exact meme. And when I introduced that meme in the GNE, was that
yes,
correct?
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't say exactly what these protocols are. And I haven't said so till now. Well, why not? Because as a Gnostic, I am extremely cautious that I cannot back up my claims or assertions or propositions with evidence. Now I have the evidence. In this event, there is the evidence of the inception of these extinction protocols. I do make that assertion at this point. However, I have to tell you something of imperative importance. The extinction protocols of the Scorpion Mother will not be implemented in the form of something like the Black Plague, the Black Death, or any other catastrophic pandemic disease over which no one has any control.
Spanish flu.
Yeah, you know, Ebola, you know. I'm telling you, as the man who claims to speak for the goddess, not as someone who channels her and not as an evangelist, but as someone who knows her mind. I know her mind. And I know that she would not inflict on her pet species or any of the other animal species in the world such an event. The manner in which she's going to implement these, quote, extinction protocols is brilliant, mischievous, and extremely playful. It is not a matter of just intervening into the biological soup of this experiment, casting a spell, and then inflicting some kind of disease that eliminates a large part of the human species. I almost wish she would.
Well, I think the people who are queuing up in droves in America to get tested and vaccinated
are selecting themselves for extinction.
Exactly, yeah.
One of the tricks, it's all trickery. It's an act of archontic trickery, using the power of the narrative. One of the tricks of this panic is that the more people are tested or volunteer to be tested, the more confirmed cases will occur. But you have to ask yourself, well, why is that so? Why would that be so? So we're going to look into why would that be so. So definitely, again, to get back to this point, I am pleased and I am proud of myself. I can tell you that I exercised extreme caution in making any statements about these extinction protocols. I held off, and I held off for years. You've got to give it to me. I held off for years, and now I can talk about it in real time, current with the events that will reveal to those who have the disposition and the capacity to know what is really happening, what viruses really are or are not, and how the narrative about the coronavirus is itself the killing agency. And this is the most massive application of archontic trickery that has ever been executed on this planet. So one more. That's pretty dramatic, I know. I don't want to be too dramatic here. But these matters are of imperative importance in the personal and transpersonal reality of each and every one of you. But before we get into our improvised discussion here, there's one more point I want to make. How can you best view the event of the coronavirus pandemic or the coronavirus panic? How can you, in your immediate, real, day-to-day life reality, view this? How can you approach this in the way that will be of optimal benefit for you and enlightenment for you? Well, if you approach it in the framework of the Sophianic narrative, and if you approach it as a Gnostic, learning how to apply Gnostic skills, then you will regard it, first and foremost, as an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to learn something. And not everybody in the world is going to learn this, because they don't want to, because they can't, because they don't have the IQ, because they don't have the disposition. But I'm speaking to each and every one of you one-on-one as if you were standing before me. You choose yourself if you want to take this as an opportunity to learn. And if you do, I will do my best to educate you in that opportunity. So, here we go. We're sitting here off mic and we're discussing how to direct this talk. There's an enormous amount of things to consider, but one of the criteria for being a Gnostic is that you select in any discussion or consideration, problem or argument, you select the essentials to consider and you discard the non-essentials. Now, some of those things deemed as non-essential may arise in another discussion, in another argument. But if you cannot keep to the essentials in one particular argument, you're going to lose the way. So we're going to perhaps dedicate another talk to what I mentioned at the beginning. That is to say, an article that I have here in front of me. This is the title of the article. Sotnet, SOTT.NET. Title of the article: Why the Only Thing Influenza May Kill is Germ Theory. So I would like to go through that article with you, we both would, and show you how we read that article and how we critically assess that article. You know, you've all heard the term intelligence analyst. It comes from the CIA. So the CIA is a three-letter agency that gathers enormous amounts of intelligence in the forms of witness reports, informants, wiretaps, drone surveys, secret footage and everything. And then all of that material has to be sent to a department of the intelligence analyst to work out what to conclude from it. Well, as a Gnostic, you are an intelligence analyst. We're going to try to demonstrate to you how to be a good intelligence analyst, but we might have to reserve that episode for a second talk. What I really want to do in this talk is go to the essential truth. And the essential truth is, can be stated like this. What happens to you if you submit to a test for coronavirus and you are, quote, tested positive? What does that mean? What does it actually mean? What are you being told that it means, but what does it really mean? So I will attempt to answer both those questions, and Caradwyn here is going to back me up or put me down or laugh at me, whatever is appropriate. In the first place, what you are told it means if you test positive for coronavirus is that you have been subjected to a medical procedure. In that medical procedure, they have identified a microbial entity present in your body from taking a swab, and the presence of that microbial entity in your body proves that you have the virus. That microbial entity is the virus present in your organism. That's what you're being told. Do you concur? This is a good description.
Yeah, but what you're also doing is giving the authorities samples of your DNA.
Isn't it wonderful how this crisis, pandemic crisis, affords the authorities to collect the DNA of every single person in the world on the pretext of protecting them or, testing them for the coronavirus? Isn't that convenient? Secondly, we were just talking about this gun, this plastic, white plastic gun with a red kind of lens that they put to your forehead test you for your temperature.
Yeah, we watched a BBC presentation, international one. It was a trans woman presenting it.
Yeah,
so
on the BBC.
So immediately you're confused. One right. is confused immediately because you're looking at this creature thinking, that's a fucking man. That's a fucking man. And then, of course, they're trained to speak in a certain way.
Certain intonations. Mm. They emphasize certain words. It's an unnatural emphasis of words. Why do they use an unnatural emphasis of words in these BBC commentaries that you would not encounter in ordinary speech? Because it captures your attention and it captures you off guard and makes you think subconsciously without really thinking, oh, this must be something important because of the way they're saying it to me.
Well, it's a bit like the jackhammer editing of Hollywood, isn't it? Except in language.
That's right.
So they went to various places around the world. It's called Europe is now the epicenter.
Europe is now the epicenter,
the
right.
The coronavirus.
Right, which is a total lie.
They were showing images of Madrid, which
Paris,
was empty,
France.
Paris, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, okay, they were empty, if you can believe it. What time did they film them? We don't know. And then they went to the Philippines, and it showed us images of
women
wearing army camouflage.
With
masks at borders, stopping vehicles and aiming a temperature gun at people's heads in their cars and on the buses. And if people have got a temperature over 38 degrees, then they're hauled off to be tested for coronavirus.
Okay, so let's look at this for a moment. Just two observations I would make. I'll leave the second observation, in fact, to Caradwyn. The first observation I would make is there is a Flash Gordon type of gun. It's this slick plastic-looking gun, which has a window, which is generally red. And when they put it to someone's forehead and pull the trigger, it flashes and it registers their temperature. So you're told. Now, it's possible, and I'm not being paranoid here. I'm just making an observation that gun may be doing something, may be transmitting something, a microwave pulse, into the cerebral circuits of people on the pretext of taking their temperature. This is how insane it is. They may have weaponized these instruments for detecting the virus for their ultimate purposes. This is a fact.
Well, so, I joked to you, didn't I? There's no lady, you're not going to put that on my head. You can have my arse.
Yeah.
You can test my temperature on my asshole, but not on my brain.
Exactly. Yeah. And what is the difference between pointing that Flash Gordon sci-fi weapon at my head and pointing a gun at my head? Because the next thing is they're going to point a gun at my head. And they're going to say, this is what they want. They're never going to do this to me. But this is the extrapolation of their paranoid wet dream. Yeah, you're going to be tested for a coronavirus or else we'll shoot you. They're going to make it mandatory. But they don't need to make it mandatory because millions of people are already volunteering. That's the selection process. You see, that's the joke.
Yeah,
it's a joke.
They also showed us imagery in the United States of America, cars lining up at coronavirus testing centers.
In coliseums, in sports coliseums.
Yeah. To be tested and, dare say, vaccinated.
You see, in the benign view of the Aeonic Mother who set up this experiment and established us, the Anthropos, as the prime subject of the experiment, she will not perform some unilateral massacre at a biological level. She could do that, obviously, but she won't. It's much more interesting to her as an aeon to see who would select themselves into extinction. And this is what these people are doing. Would you say something about the German New Medicine view of a fever?
Yeah. So all so-called diseases occur in the psyche caused by an unexpected shock or a conflict, which then affects a certain part of the brain, depending on the type of conflict. With coronavirus, we're talking a death fright conflict.
Yes.
So then the part of the brain that's affected by the conflict controls an organ or a part of the body, and then it will go to that part of the body and initiate a survival program.
Exactly.
So if these people who are turning up in their cars and droves in America to be tested for the coronavirus, I would imagine they're already, if they're in that state of panic, they're already in some type of
elevated fever.
DHS, which is a Durkheimer syndrome, which means they're in a, let's say, a death fright conflict. So they'll already have a temperature, because that's the body already starting to initiate a special biological program in order to keep it alive.
So if I may paraphrase, the narrative about the coronavirus creates a trauma and an impact in the psyche. And according to German New Medicine, all so-called diseases or problems that we have in health, mental health, physical health, originate in the psyche. They are then translated to the body because body and psyche work as a dynamic unity. The body then proceeds to heal them because it is divinely designed to handle anything. And as it heals them, it goes through two phases, which we'll describe in more length in further talks. The conflict phase and
conflict
the healing
phase. Conflict active phase and the healing phase.
Yeah, the conflict active phase healing and the active. Healing phase. And then with the assistance of the psyche, that is to say, to some degree, some measure of conscious participation in the healing process, the psyche and the body together heal and come out of whatever it is that was harming. So what they're doing is they're frightening people with the narrative. Then they're testing their temperatures, which are elevated because they're frightened by the narrative.
Yeah. I would also suggest people go and look at the Wikipedia page on Dr. Harmer, because there's a part, there's a section called Dr. Harmer and Jewish Conspiracy, and see what Harmer thought about what they're doing with vaccinations. Go and research that, and then look at the German New Medicine.
Good. And everyone is advised, once again, to listen to that talk on what is it? Virus mania. Absolutely fundamental.
By Carolina Markelin.
Okay. So far, I've been attempting totally by improvisation to describe what you can already describe for yourselves. You can already run through it in your minds. This is what they claim about testing positive. Now, I'd like to tell you what actually testing positive actually means. But before I say that, I want to advise you all that this is a mimetic event. This is a mimetic pandemic. And what does mimetic mean? It's both memetic, M-E-M-E-T-I-C. It operates via memes. It propagates through memes. And mimetic, M-I-M-E-T-I-C. It propagates by imitation, by conformity, by people imitating the behavior of people who are imitating the behavior of other people. So you can do your part in getting away from this insanity and diminishing this panic by not repeating certain memes. Don't speak them and try not even to think them.
I woke up this morning realizing I'd had a dream about the coronavirus last night. And I've not even been following that stuff. I don't believe it. I don't believe any of the mainstream media. But it's so already so embedded
it's so pervasive.
In everyone's psyche.
It's so pervasive. So there are three memes, three formulas that are mindlessly and endlessly repeated by everyone. First is testing for the virus. Do not repeat that meme. Do not say that meme. Because if you repeat that meme, you are in fact propagating the lie that is contagiously carried in that meme. Do not say tested positive for the virus. And do not say cases. Do not even say cases. Because what the fuck is a case? The word case, when it applies in this context of the general discourse in the public, means a case of coronavirus. What is a case of coronavirus? It's a complete scam. It's a complete scam. So I'm going to try now in the remaining half hour of this talk to tell you what actually those three memes signify so that you yourself can determine that they are false, fraudulent, misleading, and nefariously, evilly deceptive. And if you use them, if you even think them, you are propagating the narrative of a master deception, which is now being inflicted upon this planet.
As you have been so trained to do,
through
your miseducation system.
Look at 9/11. We repeated the memes of 9/11, you know, box cutters, 19 Arabic terrorists, those were memes.
Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah, and you repeated those memes and you salivated over them, we all did, like Pavlov's dogs, until you finally realized and learned from people who investigated that none of those things were true, and that you were perpetuating the narrative by memeing the narrative. This is a meme event. It's a meme catastrophe. And the Aeon Sophia is also combating it through her mimetic powers, which I am just at the point of beginning to detect and to perhaps ultimately describe. So, what actually happens when you are tested for coronavirus? There is a test kit, and this test kit has a swab. Someone comes and physically takes a swab of the inside of your mouth. And from the DNA and the saliva, it has a lot to do with saliva. The Semitic virus is a virus that propagates through saliva. Okay? Yes. Our cross-species consultant is approving here because I'm digging into the core of the matter. Okay? So, they take a swab, they go back to the laboratory, and they conduct the content of your saliva to a series of tests. Now, these tests are already predetermined to look for something particular. So they use whatever their machines in the lab are and say they're looking at the data that comes up on the screen when they run a test on your saliva, and various data comes up, but they're predetermined to find one particular data. The test is set up like that. The test for coronavirus is not set up to just find anything that might be in your system. It's algorithmically designed to find one tag. And that if it finds that tag, that microbial entity, it will say, we have detected coronavirus in your system. You are now a confirmed case.
Tom Hanks.
Like Tom Hanks.
Golden Goy of Spielberg. Tom right. Hanks has it.
How convenient. How so? Well, of course, Tom Hanks, like other celebrities, has the trust of millions of people around the world. So whatever he advises about coronavirus, now that he's confirmed case, many people will follow. And there will be other, and there are other examples of this. The wife of the Prime Minister of Spain, for instance. Oh, wow, just think. People at the highest levels of power can get coronavirus. We better watch out. They're not immune. Everyone's going to get it. You see how the message, how the narrative propagates itself in every conceivable dimension of paranoia that you can imagine. So, seeing if I can stay on message here, I said, this is what they claim about testing for the coronavirus, testing positive, confirmed cases. Every day they are reporting an exponential acceleration of confirmed cases, and you can expect this to continue. But why are they reporting that? Does it really mean that we are looking here at some kind of viral contaminant, lethal, potentially lethal, that causes horrific suffocation of the victims, that is spreading out of control all over the planet? That's what the narrative would like you to believe. But when you look closely at what this testing process actually is, you can see that that is not the case.
Well, it's the same if you highly recommend people go and watch a documentary called The House of Numbers, which will inform you all about HIV and AIDS, how that came about, how the scientists who developed the test were whores, and that there isn't a conclusive test for HIV.
No.
But the diagnosis will kill you.
That's right. The diagnosis will kill you.
Which fits with the German new medicine.
Right. And the diagnosis of AIDS killed more of the so-called victim of AIDS than the actual disease of AIDS itself, which was a phantom disease and was never detected. The AIDS virus was never isolated. It was never photographed. And now it's coming out after the years that even the people involved are admitting that it was a fraud.
The CDO needed a new epidemic. Apparently, at the time, there were signs up on the walls, we need a new epidemic. And lots of gay men started showing really weird symptoms. The documentary will explain it was all because of their lifestyle, sniffing amyl nitrate, fucking loads of men, not eating properly, not sleeping properly. They died. And so the CDO pinned HIV, human immunodeficiency virus.
Right.
On this new...
Their behavior, which was genuinely, it must be admitted, sick and decadent self-destructive behavior.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love loads of homosexuals to die of HIV.
Absolutely. They are self-selecting themselves for extinction. And many people, likewise, exposed not to the coronavirus, but to the coronavirus narrative, will select themselves for extinction. Listen closely. This is how the extinction protocols work. In the benign wisdom and the love of the Aeonic Mother, they're voluntary. They're voluntary extinction protocols. She's not forcing anything on anyone. She would not do that to her magical children. Nevertheless, she's presenting an opportunity for her magical children to learn something that is going to be regarded for the rest of your lives, is going to be regarded by the establishment powers as an absolute taboo, namely that viruses, in fact, do not exist.
We've been talking about this for weeks now. The only virus.
There is only one true virus.
And it's a cerebral virus.
It is a neuronal cerebral virus, and it is truly a virus because, due to the fact, not because, that it comes from outside the petri dish of this experiment, and that it is an alien virus. That is the archontic virus.
But actually, the propaganda virus, that's the cerebral virus. That's why people are getting sick. That's why people are giving up their liberty and their autonomy and handing themselves into the authorities.
The archontic cerebral virus has two aspects, primary and secondary. In the primary aspect, there is actually a neurological, neuronic infection. There is a condition of neurological derangement, which is physical. That's the primary aspect of the archonic infection, and that is carried by certain ethnic groups. The secondary aspect of it is that it is mimetic, and it can be transmitted from one brain to another brain by narrative. So if you buy the narrative that comes from the primary infected group, then you will, in a sense, mimic all the symptoms that that group has. You will imitate their behavior. And this is the way that it develops, as I initially explained in August of 2014. So, pick up the thread and round off this talk. What am I saying? What am I saying actually happens when you test positive for coronavirus? I'm going to introduce the specific terminology without getting too complicated. The specific terminology of microbes, which is already known what microbes are, and a microbial unit. Okay? So it is known that the human body is full of microbes. Now, according to Lynn Margulis, whom I met, Zen Usher Alert, autistic genius in her own right, to give her credit where credit is due. According to Lynn Margulis, in her SET theory, which is serial endosymbiosis, she claimed, rightly so I believe, that the microbes that are in the field of life, the microbes, there are billions of microbes in a handful of dirt. There are hundreds of thousands of microbes in your body. And in her serial endosymbiosis theory, Lynn Margulis confirmed pretty much what German New Medicine says, is that the microbes in your body are helpers. They are part of the support system of your body. They are not evil microbial viruses. So if you can accept that microbes that you have in your body right now are helpful and supportive life entities, okay, then what is a microbial unit? Well, a microbial unit is, and here comes drumroll please, and I'm going to stand by this thesis because I find that it is confirmed by the evidence. A microbial unit, as I'm calling it, is a microbe that has been engineered. It's been tinkered with. So, What happens when you test for the coronavirus is that the test kit already is programmed algorithmically to find something that it knows is going to be there. What does it know is going to be there? It knows that there is a microbial unit with a certain signature, a label on it. And the label is COVID-19. How come the test kit will find that microbial unit with that label? Because it has been designed to find it, and the label has been designed to be found. So what they find in your system, in your body, is a particular microbial unit that they call a dangerous virus. But it is not a dangerous virus. It's just the label for a dangerous virus.
And it could be mislabeled.
And it could be mislabeled. They could find any microbial unit among thousands upon thousands that are related to asthma, bronchitis, what's the other thing? Pneumonia, you know. We have in our bodies microbial life forms which are addressing and dealing with all these conditions. They are dealing with pneumonia. They are dealing with tuberculosis, which have come to you through a traumatic conflict. And the body is dealing with them. You're squinting.
Yeah, you're not quite correct there.
Okay, go ahead.
So we've got in our bodies, we are designed to self-regulate and self-heal. In our bodies, we have microbes such as the tuberculosis bacteria and candida, so fungus. These are ancient organisms. They're our friends. So when one has an unexpected shock, a conflict, and then one goes into a conflict active phase, cells will proliferate in the part of the body that the brain controls that the biological conflict hits. So what the microbes do, the fungi, the candida, and the tuberculosis bacteria, once the psyche has resolved the conflict, the body's already proliferated cells, those microbia go in and they eat away the excess cells that are no longer needed. So that's what they're there for.
So the microbes that we inherently carry are charged by nature, by the design of nature, to do this. They are part of our healing process. However, because microbial units can be isolated and tinkered with in laboratories, it is possible to create manufactured or engineered microbial units. That is possible within the realm of modern genomics and biochemistry. So to get back to my primary thesis, what I'm saying is, if you're tested positive for coronavirus, it's because you have a microbial entity in your body which consists of kind of a cluster, a agglutinate. Carolina calls it an agglutinate of proteins with a certain microbial signature. That's what it is, a cluster, an agglutinate. If it's found that you have this in your body, they say that it proves that you have the virus because that is the virus. That microbial unit is the virus. That is the fundamental lie. The microbial unit that they detect is not that virus. There is no such thing as a virus. It is simply a microbial unit that has been engineered. It's a tag with a label on it that they can go find because they know that it has been placed in your system. It's a setup. How it has been placed in your system, I'll talk about in another talk, which I'm calling the commie virus scam. How this tagged microbial unit has been placed in your system is another subject. The fact is that, of course, many people all around the world have this tag in their systems. Probably been introduced there for quite a while now. And so what they're doing is they're saying, given that the test shows, the rig test shows the presence of this microbial unit, you have the virus. No, you don't. You only have a microbial unit tagged with the name of the virus. That is the trickery of this whole event. And millions and billions of people will fall for that trickery. And I think you can see why. And I think you can see also why it's a shit test. Because what does it take for someone not to fall for that trickery? What does it take? Huh? It takes, first of all, the willingness to question the absolute taboo that viruses don't exist, even though there is ample evidence. Pasteur was a fraud. HIV was a fraud. Gallo was a fraud who discovered HIV.
Measles was proven in court.
Measles, it's been proven legally. Look at Stefan Lanka. It's been proven legally in a court of law.
Measles has never been isolated.
There is no way, by the scientific standards of the establishment themselves, following the four cautious postulates, they have not satisfied the terms of their own proof. So the fact that they are saying that these diseases exist and they threaten us is purely a narrative.
Well, yeah, I mean, look how many people died in England last year of influenza.
16,000, I think.
And how many have died of so-called coronavirus?
Under 200?
Nothing. Yeah. Same in America. Influenza wipes out people every single year in their thousands.
And not only that, but I would add that the diagnostic profile of the coronavirus is such that it can easily, that other routine flu and influenza, asthma, bronchitis incidences that occur routinely, especially in the spring of the year, all over the world, that they can be easily mistaken or misidentified as the coronavirus. It's set up that way. The people who are doing this know exactly what they're doing. And they rely on the ignorance of the average tad, the man and woman in the street, to have the savvy and the determination to figure it out. That's the selection process. If you can't figure it out, you're going out with those others who buy the narrative. If you can figure it out, which you can do in the framework of the Sophianic narrative, along with accessories like German New Medicine, then you select yourself into a different future evolution.
Emergence.
Into the emergence of Anthropos 11. So we can close on that note. I just want to give a nod of appreciation to Roger, who introduced the subject of the coronavirus way back in January on the PT Forum. And I want to recall the comments that happened, the comments that were inspired by that, namely, Sange had the thought that the recent coronavirus might just be from the scorpion mother and her releasing venom. And Elisa Shields responded, perhaps, or perhaps her venom is the antidote to these scare tactics. A great way to kick off this discussion. And we are keen and eager to continue in sobriety and discernment and to see where this will lead us. But the one thing I can assure you is it's one of the greatest educational events that ever happened on this planet. And you are privileged to belong to it.
I would like to add... I thought you stopped me. I would like to add, if people are starting to get a feel for German New Medicine, you listen to the two Virus Mania talks, I think the first thing you should go and research on Carolina Marklin's website, which is learninggnm.com. There's a site search. That's the easiest way to navigate that site. It's a massive site. It takes a bit of practice getting used to it. Go and research what a stink conflict is. Because this is what we're talking about with coronavirus. We're talking about a stink conflict.
It's a stink conflict.
So that what happens when you're on an airplane and you're sat next to somebody who's coughing and sneezing because they've got a filthy cold, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get that stinking cold. And what happens? You get a stinking cold. It's that simple. And this is how the propaganda of coronavirus is going to spread, the cerebral virus.
Indeed, and there's quite a bit more to say in specific evidential terms, historical terms. I'm going to give you the historical terms going back to the 4th century regarding the correct narrative of the affliction on this planet and the use of the term stink and stink narrative. Something stinks about the coronavirus. There is definitely a stench in the air, a stench coming to the nostrils of the Romae, of the people of the nations. And when they can identify the source of that stench, then they will know what they need to know, essentially, about this so-called pandemic. That's it for now. Wishing you all sanity and safety until the next time.